Welcome to the Bidwell Presbyterian Church Podcast. The church is located next to California State University, Chico. For updates on services, congregational care, and community outreach, please visit our website at bidwellpres.org. The following sermon, One Solid Resolution, was given by Pastor Henry Hansen on Sunday, December 31st, 2023. May you experience God's grace and joy on the journey.
We'll hear from the Word of God now. This is Matthew chapter 7. The verses are 24 through 29, and this is the parable of the wise and foolish builder. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house. Yet it did not fall, because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash. When Jesus had finished saying these things, the crowds were amazed at his teaching, because he taught as one who had authority and not as their teachers of the law. Here ends the reading of God's holy word. To God's name be all glory and praise. Why don't we just pause for a brief word of prayer? God, it's good for us to be here. We thank you for the security that this sanctuary offers to us, a haven where we can gather around your purposes and promises for our lives. In such a busy and noisy world, we covet spaces such as this. And so we thank you, and God, we've not come here ultimately to hear a human word or human opinion, but to hear from you. And so we pray, oh God, that you would meet us here, that you would minister to our hearts and transform our lives, God, so we would start this new year on strong footing as we seek to live in your likeness. In Christ's name, amen. 2 weeks ago, I was driving down Highway 99, and I was on my way to Butte County Jail to do a jail visit to see some inmates. A lot of you know that I'm a jail minister, so I head down that way every couple weeks to do a visit. And as I was driving, I was just captivated by this billboard that jumped out at me, and it said, win more. And I thought, yeah, I want to win more. Sounds good. I have no idea what I have to be competitive about at this age. I'm age 46, but surely there must be some things. I don't necessarily do active sports. I'm not racing competitively, but winning sounds really good. So I went on to read the very bottom of the billboard, and right below it, it said Gold Resort and Casino. No, thank you. I do not want to go into your smoke-infested casino and spend my time at your slot machines or crab tables trying to win. No, thank you. But as I saw the sign and really thought about what it was implying, it seemed to be indicating that really the important part of a person's life is your money and your bank account. So you want to win more, right? You want to have a financial nest egg that you can rest upon. And that can be a foundation for someone's life. And we saw in this parable, there is the parable of the rich and or the wise and the foolish builder. And it's looking at our foundations in life, what our foundation can be to build our house upon the rock. And there's a lot of things that can be a foundation in our lives. Here are some examples. I just mentioned money. That's an obvious one, right? Some people live for that. Kind of like, you know, when you were a kid, all you lived for was candy. It was all about candy, more candy, whatever I can do to get candy, right? Some people live their way that way about money. Life is about the financial nest egg and what money can bring. That's the foundation. Another can be image, right? Having a perfectly manicured life. Career can be another for many. That's their whole identity. Life is about that. You build upon the career. Family can be another foundation for people. Relationship in general. There may be other things that you are bringing to mind, right? And for many of us, or maybe most of us, God, or at least we want to believe that God is the foundation of our lives. And one of the ways that we can know what our foundation is in our lives is how we respond to storms, right? The things that happen to us that are unexpected. How do I respond? And you can maybe survey the last year, what you did when the unexpected happened, whether it was a health scare or a financial scare, or maybe it was related to your work, how we respond. Do we respond with perspective and proportion? And by that I mean perspective, with a clear view of God being in the trenches with us of life, in proportion based on who God is, that our view of God is one that can stand in the breach with us. This God is powerful and he is faithful. Do we respond to in proportion and perspective to who God is in our lives, keeping our view of God in plain view? But one thing that is for certain in this parable is that we are all building something with our lives. We're all building. One way or another, you cannot get around building. And things like family and things like work are really good for the structure or the framing of the house. But they are not meant to be actually the foundation. And those are two big things for us, right? Family, relationship, work, and certainly not money. Money can be good, can be stewarded for really good things, for enjoyment of life, and to help other people, to bless other people's lives. And an image certainly doesn't belong in the foundation or in the structure. An image is about glory, and God's in the business of glory. We are not. That is not what we do. So it's good for us to look at the foundation and to know that you cannot get around building. And as this parable tells us, that we have faith in Christ, faith in God, it's the foundation of our life, that this foundation is sure and it is secure. When I was a missions pastor at my last church, I went on more than my fair share of mission trips. And one of the trips I went on the most was to Mexico to build houses. And I'm guessing a lot of you have done something like that if you've been part of a church for a long period of time. And there's one year in particular. So the whole idea is to build multiple homes, right, in Mexico for families. We had 100 people, I think 70 teenagers, 30 adults. I mean, it was like heaven on earth, guys, in the sweltering heat of Mexico. But we built like 6 houses that year or something, and I'm still recovering from that, actually. But one thing I remember about those trips is that day one was so important. Like, you had to finish the foundation on day one. And for some reason, I was always the unlucky guy who was on a work site of really uneven terrain. There'd be lava cap and all these things, so before you put in the stakes, I mean, you had to really level the ground. And we would get there at 7:30 in the morning and be there till 6 o'clock at night, right? And it was sweltering heat. We get back eventually really late for dinner. But your whole week was really predicated by how much you accomplished on day one. You had to get the foundation just laid. So you level the ground, then you'd mix the mortar, you pour the cement into the slab form. And that was really crucial. And I just remember looking at pouring all that concrete and going, there are sweat, blood, and tears in that foundation, right? Friends, all that's to say is there are sweat, blood, and tears in our own foundation in life when we profess faith in Christ. Blood, sweat, and tears because of the heavy lifting that Christ is done. You know, one of the things I remember too with the mortar is pushing the cement up the hill in the wheelbarrow. Sometimes we had to do that with our lot, go uphill. And Christ pushed a proverbial wheelbarrow up the hill, rather, or he carried a cross up a hill to Golgotha to die. And Jesus bled or sweat, there was sweat, blood, and tears that went into this foundation. Jesus' final words on the cross were, "It is finished. All righteousness has been fulfilled." And so as we prepare for a new year, as we step into a new year, we have this sure foundation For we have nothing to add to the accomplished work of Christ through our bank accounts, through our work, through any type of achievement, through our image. He's done the heavy lifting. All righteousness has been fulfilled. It is finished, Jesus said. And this communicates God's incredible and secure love for our lives, that there's nothing we can do to make God love us more, or nothing that we can do to make God love us less. And I know that this can be really challenging for us to hear and to build upon in our lives. And here's why. Here's the message that we get today in this world about what life is about. Life is a golden lab, a house with a white picket fence, a fancy car, a big bank account, a beautiful image, impeccable family, and an overall perfectly manicured life. Right? That is what life is supposed to be. That the foundation can be what we have in our bank account, or how accomplished we are, build from those things. And that's really the gist of what life is about. If you live in North America, that's what you are initiated into. That is the worldview, and that's what you're to center your life upon. And it requires examining for us to look at. I'm teaching confirmation, as Lauren mentioned earlier, starting in January. And just so you know, this is just my heart. I love doing this for our church. I'm so grateful and so excited to be able to teach our high school students and to have quality time with them. And Ray and Greg will be joining me. And what we're doing in that class is we are looking at the premise that we all have a creed that we live by, this underlying faith statement that we're all living by faith and we're operating under some kind of faith premise in our lives. And, you know, sometimes we don't make time in our own lives to examine what that is. And the one that we are conditioned to, culturally speaking, is just what I said. A golden lab, a house with a white picket fence, a fancy car, a big bank account, beautiful image, impeccable family, overall perfectly manicured life. That's what we are taught. Some call it the American dream. You can call it whatever you want, but it is by default what many see as what life is. And during confirmation, what I'm saying is, you know, this can be your creed if you're not careful. You want to look at it. Another word for creed, by the way, is doctrine. I know some of us, you hear doctrine, you go, wah, 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 it's boring, it's dry, it's dogmatic, it's whatever. That's fine, but we're all operating under some kind of doctrine and dogma in our lives. The question is do we have the moral fortitude to look, to pop open the hood, to look underneath at the engine and see what our life is truly being fueled by? And that's what I look forward to doing with our confirmands, is looking at all these things have shaped you, your family, the culture, your experiences. Let's pop open the hood. Let's look at the engine. Let's see what your life's running on. Let's see what we can do together, what God's doing in your heart right now. Well, Jesus says that the wise builder is the one who takes his teachings and puts them into practice. Whoever hears these words of mine and obeys them is like the one who built his house on solid rock. Well, what teachings, right? There's a lot we can draw from. Well, this passage falls at the very end of the Sermon on the Mount. So we've had three full chapters of teachings. To sum it up, your relationship to money, your relationship to your enemy, your relationship to your neighbor, your relationship to your own soul, your relationship to God through prayer. I know some of you are going to go home and be smarty pants and say, you left something out. You need to go home and read Matthew chapter 5 through 7. You left something out. But summarily, that's what it says. That is the Sermon on the Mount. These are the foundational things that Christ wants us to build our lives around. And Eugene Peterson translates what Jesus says with these words. These words I speak to you are not incidental additions to your life, homeowner improvements to your standard of living. They are foundational words, words to build a life on. If you work these words into your life, you're like a smart carpenter. By the way, how awesome to hear that from a carpenter himself, right? Who built his house on solid rock. And which is to say, Jesus wants to get to the bottom of your life. Wants to open the hood, pop open the hood. Look at the engine. Look at the fuel that we are running on. And here's the thing, friends, that with Christ as our foundation, that our structure has a sure foundation to rest upon. Our lives can rest on this foundation, which means that we can work, we can labor in our lives from a place of rest, because there is an unshakable foundation that is living beneath our lives. Some of you are into New Year's resolutions. Raise your hand if you either do resolutions for the year or you have one like word for the year that you use to like guide your life. Raise your hand. Okay, a little less than half. Some of you might be being shy. I'm a resolution guy. I enjoy doing them. I have different categories for my life that I do resolutions under. I achieve about 10% of those resolutions. Not a lot, but it's good to have something to aim at. I don't like to be aimless, so it actually helps me. I look forward to doing this every year. But do you know what a lot of our resolutions are about? They're about living in the land of Ur. Do you remember Ur from the Bible, the Genesis? That's where Abraham was from. But I'm spelling this E-R, not U-R. Living in the land of Ur, which is what? This year I want to be wealthier. I want to be healthier. I want to be smarter, prettier, maybe for some richer or successfuler. That's not a word, I just made it up. But living in, you can do that up here. It's fun. You can be up here 25 minutes. You guys, I talk, you listen. It's nice. Just make stuff up sometimes. No, we don't. Living from the land of Ur. And these things can just totally exhaust us. These things that we aspire to. And as I look at my list every year, I'm looking at them and I'm going, what, if anything, do these have to do with the kingdom of God? Right? What are my resolutions about? What are the things that I aspire to do? And sometimes I can look at my list during the year and I'm like, so I'm preparing for the new year and going, gosh, Henry, that all sounds kind of exhausting. Do that. Jesus says this in Matthew chapter 11. He says, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Which is to say, I don't believe that Jesus Christ wants us running around or going about our life leading stressed out lives. I don't. I don't buy that. And if we're just constantly stressed all the time, I think we have to take a hard look at our foundation and to see if we have somehow accepted by default this premise of life, this creed. Life is a golden lab, a house with a white picket fence, a fancy car, a big bank account, beautiful image, impeccable family, overall perfectly manicured life. If we are constantly stressed out, we have to ask, is this how God wants me to lead my life? And sure, there are seasons. I get it. We all have those seasons where life just is really stressful and really cumbersome. But primarily, I believe that Christ wants us to lead our lives from a place of rest. In the Sermon on the Mount, all those teachings that I just summarily gave you about what's in there, there's only one who has accomplished, who has achieved all of them. And that's Christ. Christ and his righteousness and his secure love for our lives. And so our lives can rest knowing that we abide in our Savior who has accomplished these things and who can lead our lives by the power of the Holy Spirit to guide them so that we would live our lives freely, glorifying God, not based on whether or not I fall short of God's glory, but in glorifying God with my life, I can further enjoy him. And by further enjoying God in my day-to-day and all the ways God has gifted my life, I will want, therefore, to turn back toward him and glorify him all the more. But we do this in freedom, knowing that the foundation, the righteousness of Christ and his love for us, is a secure foundation the structure can rest on. I want to close this morning by sharing with you a story. It's by Lee Strobel. You may be familiar with that name. He wrote some really great modern-day apologetics. An apologetic is a defense for Christianity. He wrote The Case for Christ, sort of like Mere Christianity, C.S. Lewis. The Case for Christ, The Case for Faith, Case for Creator. The one I'd recommend to you this time of year, by the way, is The Case for Christmas. Just looking scripturally, how the events of Christmas are factually true. We can believe in this based on modern day scholarship. And anyway, it's a very good book. It's a simple read for this time of year. But Strobel was a staunch atheist, is the long and short of it. He was an award-winning journalist for the Chicago Tribune. And one year he later became Christian, of course. But one year when he was an atheist, he was assigned to report on a story of the Delgado family. And just a couple weeks before Christmas, the Delgado family's house was burned out. And they had to move from one neighborhood in Chicago to the west side. So they moved from this really cockroach-infested tenement of a home to an even more humble apartment. And so Strobel went to visit with this family and to report on their lives. And he walked in, and he was just taken back by how barren the apartment was. There was no furniture. There was nothing hanging on the walls. There was no rug. There was virtually no food in the pantry. And there was living in the house the family trifecta, who was age perfecta. She may have been a trifecta too, I don't know. Perfecta was the grandmother who was looking after her two granddaughters, who were Lydia and Jenny. And they had just a small bowl of rice on the table. And the girls had two dresses between them and one sweater they would share walking on their ways to school. In the late fall, when it was cold, they would take turns letting the other wear it. And as he was talking to this family, he was blown away by how Perfecta, the grandmother, just kept talking about how good God is, and that God is going to care for their lives, and that she has complete hope and trust in him. So he published his story, and then a week and a half later on Christmas Eve, he was just haunted by what Perfecta had said, that she could be so audacious in her faith. And so he went back to visit the family at this little humble apartment with virtually had nothing in it prior. And he said he was taken back by what he saw. Many people throughout Chicago had read the piece, and so they wanted to bless the Delgado family. He walked in, and he saw that the house was completely furnished and completely accessorized, and there was food in the pantries and on the table, and there was this massive Christmas tree that was just overflowing with gifts. But what he wasn't prepared for is that they had so much that Perfecta, the grandmother, started to look around at the neighbors in need and started giving some of the stuff away because there was such an abundance. And he said, well, how could you possibly do this? And she said, well, our neighbors are in need, and they are lacking, and so we have a means to give. And so we want to just bless these families. And then she continued to talk about Christmas and the meaning of Christmas. And she said, these have been incredible gifts to just bless my family. But there is still one more, and that comes tomorrow on Christmas Day, our true hope, our faith, our love, and our joy. And that's infant Jesus. And then Strobel, on reflecting on it, he said the following. He said, at that moment, something inside of me wanted desperately to know this Jesus because I saw him in Perfecta and her granddaughters. They had peace and contentment despite poverty, while I had anxiety despite plenty. They knew the joy of generosity, while I only knew the loneliness of ambition. They looked heavenward for hope, while I only looked out for myself. They experienced the wonder of the spiritual, while I was shackled to the shallowness of the material. And something made me long for what they had, or more accurately, for the one that they knew. I was touched when I first read about this story, and it's really foremost a story about courage and generosity and also hope. But it's also about this family that knew what their life rested upon. that the structure of their lives rested on a sure foundation. And that this was not sinking sand. This was solid rock. This is a family that worked and their lives operated from a place of rest. And I want to ask you this morning, as you enter into the new year, what does it look like for you to go about your work from a place of rest. Now, repeat, I don't believe Jesus Christ wants us walking around living completely stressed out lives. I don't. I don't believe that. So what does it look like for you and for me to work from a place of rest? Maybe it's how you view your work as vocation unto God and not something you're building your life upon. Maybe it's looking at taking a close look at finances and having that in perspective and proportion. Maybe you're focused more on image and what other people think about your life, but popping open the hood and just taking a hard look at the engine and what's really fueling your life, your creed, if you will, your creedal statement that when you're really honest and you look at it, you're operating under without knowing. And look, I know so many of us here have been living this life for a really long time. I also know that sin still lives in our lives and things can creep in. And so as we start the new year, why not take a close look? Why not begin with footing? And why not make our one resolution this year, above anything else, to work, to operate from a place of rest? Because I believe, friends, that it is the message of Christmas and the message of the cross at the foundation is secure. And not only that, that it is eternal. And so, friends, this year, as we enter into 2024, may we look toward our God. May our one strong resolution be for this year, our one sure resolution, or rather solid resolution for this year, be to work from a place of rest, knowing that God's love, the foundation, fulfilled righteousness for our lives, it is secure. Would you join me in prayer? God, it's easier said than done because we have stressors in our lives and things are hard. We live in a fallen and broken world, and so it's not easy. And so I pray for humility for us. I pray for fortitude to ask hard questions of our lives, an awareness of patterns of behavior so we know, Lord, when we maybe step off the solid rock into sinking sand. And God, ultimately pray for this coming year. And I pray this because not only is this good for our souls, but lest we forget that we are here for the sake of the world too. And so the ministry you're doing in our hearts, it matters deeply. It's not only about us. We are called to be a light upon a hill. And so would you help us, O God, pray that we would be clear on the ways you are ministering to us, in us, through us, O Lord, so that as we receive your light, we, O God, would be light to others. We thank you that you are the sure foundation. In Christ's name, amen.